Welcome in, latest episode of that Texas A&M podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Dancing Shane. What's up, buddy?
Whoop! What's going on?
Oh, buddy, I'll tell you what a hell of a weekend we had in the SEC.
Yeah.
We predicted some upsets. The only one that got upset was you and me. You know?
I started out good, you know, and then it just, well, not for you, but for me. And then it just kind of spiraled. I'm like, you know, why would I have a perfect weekend? Why couldn't I just nail it once? But no, you are correct, Mike. It was absolutely awesome. And it's just, again, you know, you watch some of these games and you keep waiting for it to just be like the 90s, the 80s, just like you knew who was going to win. The powerhouse, the favorite was going to win, maybe close or something. Like occasionally we get an upset. It's like every single Saturday, no idea what's going to happen. We all pretend like we know. We have no clue. So half the cousins in here are happy. Half the other cousins are pissed off because their team lost.
Yeah, well, when you say we don't know, I think you're just talking about you and I, because it seems like everybody else got it pinned. You know,
it's like throwing darts, but the lots are out. You know, I don't even know where the dartboard is anymore.
We may not even be facing the right direction. You know what?
Exactly.
Well, hey, I'll tell you who is Shane. Real quick, shout out sponsors of the show, MyBookie. Don't forget, go check them out if you haven't already. Still plenty of time, Shane.
Yeah.
Fade the hell out of our picks. You'll be a millionaire before you know it. Go check them out. MyBookie.ag is the website. Promo code SEC. They'll give you a buy. It's called a buyback guarantee bonus up to $500. Mm-hmm. You start up a new account. Let's say you put in $200. You listen to me. You get all your picks wrong. They're going to refund you your initial deposit if you put in that promo code SEC over at MyBookie. But if you listen to Steven, if you listen to the cousins, you're going to win some money, and then you take it on over there and get you some Tennessee Legends.
Oh, needed some of that this weekend, Mike. And if you are in town, the Smoky Mountains, why wouldn't you be? Dollywood's wide open. The leaves are still changing colors. It's the perfect time. Everybody's Christmas shopping. Well, before you get drugged to one of those damn stores, be sure to stop off at Tennessee Legend. Tell them the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. And it's just fun. It's just fun. You ain't even got to buy nothing. Just go in there and hang out with the cousins for a little bit. I promise you, you'll be back. So,
right. And, you know, don't hold this against them, Shane.
Yeah.
But some of my picks may be made under the influence of some Tennessee Legends. So you know it's good, strong stuff. You know what?
Hell yeah, man. It was absolutely needed, you know? So, hey, I tell you what, again, wonderful, wonderful weekend. And appreciate all the cuts. You know, I was just thinking about the promo code MyBookie. I was like, you know, that's maybe why we're getting all these donations. They're giving back, you know?
Well, hey, speaking of giving back, Shane, real quick.
Yeah.
So, again, our picks are terrible, right?
Yes.
But are they really? I mean, there's outliers. Shout out to the weekly roundup. Yeah, Shane and I, we only got four right. But cousin Andrew, he only got four right, too. So the cousins did not gain ground on us. But shout out Stephen Lassen. First time this season, he's taking the lead in the weekly pick'ems. He got 5 of 6. He only missed Florida. Shane and I both missed two. The cousins missed two. So, hey, cousins, I'm coming for you. I'm just one behind you. And there is Shane.
Yeah.
He's four back of you. But he'll catch up before you know it. So, again, our picks were just as good as the cousins this week, believe it or not.
Well, and honestly, if Texas A&M didn't know all the plays and didn't have the officials in their back pocket, maybe I would have won that one. And maybe if Auburn could just win one damn close game, I would have went undefeated this weekend. So the picks aren't my fault. There's other factors in this one.
Yeah, don't blame us.
Yeah, exactly.
Now Shane is blaming my ass for this dance we're about to do, but I think that's fair.
Yeah, this was... I'm just going to let you guys know, I'm not really what you'd call an athlete. So a lot of people are like, hey, why didn't you squat all the way down? Well, because I would have blew my knee out again. Clearly, I'm not running from the police anytime soon.
All right, Shane, let's get into the action. I'm trying to keep up with all these donations real quick, but let's get into, obviously, the big game here.
Yeah.
For us and for all of Aggie Nation there. A&M goes on the road, Shane, and whips Missouri like we did not say they would. 38-17, completely dominated the Tigers' ass. Man, this was not much of a ball game, Shane, because Missouri had no offense, and that's a credit to A&M's defense. This is where we're at, Shane, with A&M. To me, this was like a C performance. They won by 21 points on the road.
Yep.
Marcel Reed, he started out 4 of 8 passing, and then he said, you know what, by God, I think I'll just heat up, and completed his next 9 passes and 13 of his next 15. So he was red hot. He hit Bethel Roman there on 3rd and goal. That was a huge play at the end of the first quarter. And two moments really, I thought, Shane, kind of determined this game.
Yes.
And it was the Missouri, before halftime, yeah. Shout out Damian Sanford forced a fumble that Dalton Brooks returned to the 2. A&M cashed it in right before with 20 seconds left in the first half to go up 14-0. And just what we had seen from Missouri's offense, 14-0 was like an insurmountable lead. But and then they did have some life here, Missouri did. They came out the second half. They scored a touchdown midway through the third. And then A&M goes 3 and out. And you're like, uh-oh, we're getting some life here. And then Elko dropped this massive nutsack on him, Shane, and faked the punt. Again, shout out Dalton Brooks again, 48-yard run. They converted that into a field goal, and after that it was pretty much all she wrote, and then Reuben Owens put him away for good with the 57 yard touchdown run to go up 31-10.
Yeah.
And buddy, I can't believe we touted up Mount Zoller's, Shane. Again, he's just a true freshman. I don't want to say he's got no future or anything, but 7 of 22 for 77 yards. He did not look great in this one.
No. And kudos to Texas A&M mixing it up. You know, I mean, how many times did we hear, what was that word he kept saying? Exotic packages they kept throwing. That's what they kept saying over and over again. And man, Matt looked like he was looking out of his ear hole a few times. So yeah, this was definitely a defensive win for Texas A&M. But this is something we talked about after this game was, when you have a football team that is playing so well on both sides of the football, it's tough to beat, man. And watching this game, it was clear about 5 minutes in that one team was trying to keep up and one was trying, you know, to just look for that big play opportunity, which Texas A&M did get. And every time they capitalized on it, they got points off of it. The big thing for me too, Mike, is they took the crowd noise out, right? You know, if you're gonna win up there in Columbia, and in fact, I've been there, brother. It's when they are fired up, this is one of the toughest little crowds, feisty little crowds to be a part of. But when things go against them, it's quiet as a church mouse, you know, and I feel like that's just where we're at. Maybe that will change when we expand, but there was a little give up with the fans there that weekend. So
when you said, what was that? You said exotic packages?
Yeah, a lot of exotic.
That reminds me of Shane's dance that we're about to see here. It's quite the exotic package, if you catch my drift. So, again, we'll keep teasing that till the moment here, Shane. But let me ask you this.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Percentage A&M goes undefeated now that we're 9-0, 6-0 in conference play.
Right now, I would say 85% right now.
Wait, and we're just saying regular season, right? Not playoff run, of course.
I'm telling you, brother, A&M is, and I get tired of people saying, well, look who they play. Man, they have played some good football teams. They have played in great locations and venues, and I'm telling you right now, no one is playing better than Texas A&M right now. This is a great, great football team, and it's the total package, man. They got two of the best receivers. They got Marcel Reed playing out of his damn mind, and there was moments in this game, you know, he got a little, I wouldn't say rattled, but you know, he's starting to make some of them 2024 mistakes. But the running game bailed him out, the defense bailed him out. That's complimentary football, and nobody's doing that better than Texas A&M right now. And they were the best football team on that football field.
Only team in the country, Shane, literally the only team that is 3-0 on the road against ranked opponents.
Yep,
9-0 for the first time since 1992. 6-0 in conference play for the first time since 1998. So they've literally never done it in this conference, yet they've done it this year. Shout out Texas A&M, Coach Elko, who I think he's going to be SEC Coach of the Year. Just a
he's going to be pissed at that award, too, you know, taking part of his day. So he has to go up there when he could be working on script strategies for the South or whatever game he's got coming up. So, no, Elko, I love it. He's slowly turning into Nick Saban, too, you know, just uncomfortable at the podium. But whatever, man, you know, and I'm going to tell this on Mizzou. It's all, we've been, you know, I don't want to just you know, say Texas A&M's the best football team and not acknowledge that Mizzou's not far behind, right? You know, I mean, obviously you're starting a freshman quarterback that was completely rattled in this game, but, you know, you did have a defense that held the passing game to 70 yards. I'm just saying, if this was more of a balanced attack, this could have been a better game. There were moments in that third quarter where Mizzou had an opportunity to kind of get back in this thing. That I would say that Mizzou has a very, very stingy defense, maybe the best defense that that Texas A&M has played up to this point.
Right.
So they still got a lot to play for, but it's just A&M's on a different level right now.
Right. I mean, I don't want to scar you here, but it was similar to last week, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Where, you know, role reversal a little bit, but Missouri, I'm not saying the defense gave up that second touchdown. That was the offense.
Right.
You know, they're fighting their ass off. They when you limit A&M to essentially 7 points in a first half,
mm-hmm.
you should be winning the football game and you should be right there. And then the offense gives up 7 points essentially.
Yeah.
And then again, you stop them. You stop them to go three and out. And then special teams gives up a 40 plus yard run. And then the defense got to go right back out there. And what do? They stop their ass. You know what I mean? So Missouri's defense played well enough to win this game, but you're not going to beat an elite team, which A&M is, with mm-hmm. just one side of the football. You have to be significantly better than that to be able to compete with a team like this.
Exactly, man. And I felt like there was a little, and I'm not trying to get on any of the coaches, but I just, and again, I know it's a freshman, you don't want to give up the big plays, but it felt like it was a little too vanilla on offense for Mizzou. You know, it's almost like we gave up a play on every four downs. Like, hey, listen, we know where it's going. You know, I mean, even the linemen are coming out here saying, well, they know the play. Well, so did everybody watching the game. You know, we knew exactly Roberts or Hardy was going to get the football here. And I hate that Zoller's never had really that opportunity. It's almost like he was carefree when they were behind at Vanderbilt, right? They couldn't be too conservative. Yeah, he made some bad passes, but he was making those throws. And I feel like we never really had that opportunity in this game and you know, give credit to Texas A&M for never really giving them the opportunity.
How about shout out to this guy's username checks out once again, Shane Elko's massive nutsack here. Transcending the 8-4 barrier was about as big as the plums on Elko going for that fake putt. Bite the hell out of South Carolina. All right, Shane, are you ready to unveil the Yale leader dance here?
Now, also, I will say on this video, I went today to Lowe's because I don't have jean overalls. You know, I don't have.
Do they sell that at Lowe's?
No.
Oh,
but
okay.
But in my mind, I was like, hey, I'll get one of those paint suits. You know, people get and it's all white and they go in there and. But the largest side they had was XL, and it said recommended weight was like 225. I was like, that may not work.
I thought you were going to do a Vince Wolfork. Remember that, where he showed up to training camp, and he just had the overalls?
If I had a pair of overalls, I would have wore it. And if I could have fit in the paint suit, I would have wore that too. So apologize for not getting the wardrobe right.
Okay, and then for anybody that missed it too, I have just a couple seconds. Why we're doing this? Well, right here. It's all explained for you.
If the game's finished the way that you say it.
Well, wait, hold on real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Since we double cousin cursed Mizzou, do we have any kind of wager on the line? I was just thinking maybe you and I, maybe we do one of those A&M dances if A&M wins.
Oh, shit.
And then we just, you know, we don't have to do it live. You can film yours. I'll film mine. I'll edit them together.
Can't we just drink milk?
I think it'd be funnier if we did the... did a little dance or something.
Yeah, yeah. All right. If it happens, we'll do the A&M, whatever that thing's called.
Howdy, my name's Cadet Mike, class of 25 A&M Doubter. Boop, howdy. Fastback eggs, puppet eggs. 1, 2, 3. Bombers five. Fight, farmers, fight, gang, bang, puffin' eggs, 1, 2, 3, A-G-G-I-E-S,
Hey, I'm Cousin Shane from That SEC Podcast. Hey, whoop! I made a bad bet, so I got to do the dance. A-G-G-I-E-S. A-G-G-I-E-S. Fight, Aggies!
That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I swear. My kid right now, like, what the heck is going on in here? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Hey, you did great, brother. You actually nailed it.
Well, I was fighting the dog the whole time. I don't know if you could see.
I thought you were a yell leader there for a second. I was like, wait a minute, are we watching the tutorial? Oh no, that's SEC Mike.
That's when I watched it 50 times to try to get it down. You know,
I ended the video real quick so you couldn't hear all the heavy panting I was doing. You know, but I did about like 6 trial runs right before I did this one. But I forgot that was the best one. I forgot about. That was the best one. Oh shit.
Well, hey, so we did a lot of A&M talk there.
Yeah.
I got to ask a question because I wanted to focus mainly on A&M and their greatness. They're probably going to win the damn national championship. But now let's flip to the other side real quick for Missouri.
Yes.
I mean, are the people claiming they're frauds? Are they right? I mean, this is tough. We can't win a damn ranked game to save our life. And I credit Drake for this, but people are jumping on his ass. Why can't you beat a ranked opponent?
Eli, over the past 2 years, Missouri's 0-6 against ranked SEC teams. What's been so difficult about these big games?
Yeah, they're good teams. They're good teams. And I don't do a good enough job coaching.
Ugh. But I like that. I like that he says that because that's the opposite of Hugh. We can't jump on Hugh Freeze's ass for saying, well, the quarterback sucks, the offensive line sucks, the referees screwed us.
Yeah.
He's taking the blame, but it's still a question that is not getting answered. You can't just answer it with, well, I got coached better. You know what I mean? But at what point do we start calling him out?
Why can't they ask the question? The last 7 games, you're 1-6. You know, it's like they have to go back. But I get it. I get it. But there's other coaches, Mike. I mean, how many times we said this about Sarkisian or some of these other guys that are having trouble with the big games, if you will. That's exactly what this is. It's the top 25 SEC matchups. But, yeah, I mean, if we're going to say – in conversation that Eli Drinkwitz is one of the best coaches in this conference, well, you got to have the resume for it, right? And one of the things that, you know, that his name keeps popping up on is Penn State, Florida, LSU, these jobs right here. They it require. I mean, there's a reason that Brian Kelly is unemployed. There's a reason that Coach Napier is unemployed, because they too had trouble with those top 25 wins. So yeah, you're correct. I feel like you got to answer it a little more depth, but I also get Coach Drink, you know, just damn, you got to pull this out right now. I mean, we're just got off the football field and having to answer this question. Maybe if he gives it a little more thought, he'd have a better answer.
If they go remaining schedule, Mississippi State at home.
Yeah.
None of these are a given the way that the offense played on Saturday. At Oklahoma, incredibly difficult. At Arkansas, if they go 8-4.
Yeah.
I mean, is this a good year or not?
No, no. This is I thought 10-2 or bust, right? Because I, in my mind, Mike, I said, okay, they're going to potentially lose the Alabama game, and they may lose the A&M game. Vanderbilt didn't even cross my mind. They gave up that one, right? Once that happened, they had to win this A&M game, and that's why there's such a drop-off here, because now even a 9-3 is not success, right? Nobody wants to knock on the door of college football playoffs. They want to be there. And shit, Mike, are you sitting here right now after that football game, because you know those kids gave everything they had for this one right here, do you feel in your heart that they're just going to beat Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Arkansas? I'm not convinced of it right now. So, yeah, I think this best-case scenario is where we're at right now.
I think what we're going to hear this week, you know, it was all like, well, we can still make the playoff.
Yeah.
We can still win 10. You know, yeah. If you count the ball game, you know, so.
Yeah, that's what they did last year, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, again, it's easy to blame quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
Offensive line's been kind of an issue all year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, if he was being honest, I think that's what he would have said there. Why can't you beat these ranked teams? Is, well, our offensive line's not good enough, and our quarterback got hurt.
Well, to be fair, too, Mike, you know, coming into the season, a lot of people thought Mizzou was going to have a step off, right?
Yeah.
The fact that they lost all this talent to the NFL. So, and I was one of them, you know? I mean, we get caught up maybe in the offseason hype or whatever, but this is a football team that if I would have told you at the start of the season they ended 8-4, you'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. That's that, you know, I could see that. But given the fact they had all those wins early in the season and then now we're starting to have them drop off with top 25, it's a tough pill to swallow. Because you get sucked back in. You're like, oh, maybe this is a playoff team.
Yeah, I never.
I know. I know.
It's right where that they should be. Well, I'll tell you who is exceeding expectations, unlike Missouri.
Who's that?
Come on, Vanderbilt! Trying to save your life, Shane, with this walking bet. Ugh. The Fighting Diego Pavias beat Auburn 45-38. This really was, I think, the game of the day in the conference, Shane. Mm-hmm. Auburn started fast, jumped out to a 17-3 lead. Tigers scored on their first four possessions of the ball game, but only three of the remaining possessions, the rest of regulation and overtime. Auburn was up 20-10 at halftime. Vanderbilt won the second half 35-18. Shout out Diego. 377 passing yards, three touchdowns, 112 rushing, and another touchdown, Shane. He's the first Vanderbilt player ever, yes, to have 300 passing, 100 rushing in a game. Excuse me, since 1946.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, I mean, it was just, I think that's maybe the most impressive was damn Ashton Daniels going up and down the damn field on Vanderbilt's defense. Not that Vanderbilt's elite, but more about Auburn looking so awful under mm-hmm. Hugh Freeze. Ashton Daniels, 353 passing yards, two touchdowns, 89 rushing yards, two touchdowns. Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton, Shane, they combined for 21 catches, 245 yards, and two touchdowns. Singleton had more yards in the first half than he's had in any game this entire season. And Cam Coleman out here looking like damn Megatron, just beasting everybody. He was unstoppable. Eli Stowers was also, I mean, he was a beast mode, 12 catches, 122 yards. But, man, again, Vanderbilt comes up big. 34 first downs for Auburn, 30 first downs for Vanderbilt, just back and forth. This was believe it or not, Shane, this is the first time in Vanderbilt history They have allowed 38 or more points in one game. They were 0 and 170 in such games, their history. But they got their first. Now they're 1 and 170 in games they've allowed 38 or more points. But, man, if you needed any more reason, Shane, that Hugh Freeze didn't know what the hell he was doing, right here is your evidence, isn't it?
Best game. Best game of the weekend right here. And honestly, I thought that it was going to be a blowout there for a second. I mean, when Auburn, I believe it was 14-3, and they were about to go in for a touchdown. They were about to go up 21-3, and it just felt like this is Auburn's show, man. Couldn't believe it. Then all of a sudden, Dan Pavia got a little life in him and said, you know what? Not today, my friend. This kid was playing out of his damn mind. And again, we stress Heisman moments, and we're probably not going to give him his dues against an Auburn football team, but there were some moments in this game that were unfreaking believable. Both sides of the ball, but I'm talking about Pavia in particular. Pavia, you know, it, for me, is right now number one on the Heisman race. It's just unreal. The kid is unreal. And he's not the fastest quarterback. He's not the most accurate quarterback, but he's got 115 on awareness, field awareness, and he just knows. I mean, he is a literal coach on the football field and a motivator and a father figure and everything that's needed there in Nashville. I mean, the kid is just unfreaking believable. So wonderful, wonderful game. And I do want to highlight some things on Auburn side. You know, I feel like Cam came alive. You talked about singles. I had to Google him. I was like, who's this kid? Who's this kid wearing number one? I've not seen him all year long. He looks good. I think they should give him the ball more. You know what I'm saying? Now that Hugh Freeze is gone. And I feel like that's the frustrating part if you're an Auburn fan, is you're saying, hey, this entire season, we said if we only had an offense, we'd be unstoppable. Now, on the flip side of that coin, what the hell happened to the defense, right? You know, you give up over 500 yards of total offense to Vanderbilt Commodores, and I'm scratching my head saying, you know, what happened? You know, this is DJ. It's not like they fired DJ. No, they kept him. But unfortunately, they just got outplayed, and at the end of the day, it's like you just knew. Once it got close, I just knew Diego, as long as he has that last opportunity, he was going to win this football game. So tremendous, tremendous game, and Auburn loses yet another close one.
On a scale of 0 to 100,
yeah,
what's your confidence? Vanderbilt currently 8-2. They got a bye week next week. Then they get home game for Kentucky, which Kentucky's heating up now.
Yeah, they are.
And then at Tennessee, what scale of 0 to 100? How confident are you Vanderbilt finishes 10-2 and likely goes to the playoffs?
So crazy to talk about this, right? It's high, man. It is freaking high right now. I would say 80%, you know? I mean, honestly, yes, you mentioned Kentucky, which we'll get to them here in a second. They are playing better, but I think we are all looking at November 29th going to Knoxville. And right now, head-to-head, those two teams, I would favor Vanderbilt in a heartbeat.
Again, I don't want to jump ahead.
Yes.
But especially what happens if, and I hope this doesn't happen, buddy, because we'll get to them too, but it looks like Florida's kind of tanked it.
Yeah.
But if Florida beats Tennessee in the swamp, which
is possible.
It's believable. given the history, you know, if Tennessee loses that one, how motivated? I mean, I think they'll still be motivated for Vanderbilt, but yeah, to the same degree, I don't know. You know what I mean? So this is... It's almost trickier for Tennessee than it is Vanderbilt, believe it or not.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think it's very important that Tennessee wins out, you know, to make this game. I mean, hell, I'm not saying Tennessee can't win this game, right? I'm not saying that at all. So I don't want to get right that out there. I'm just saying that if you're a Vanderbilt fan and you're looking at your schedule, Kentucky apparently is not going to be as easy as we thought, but it's a very winnable game. And you can get Tennessee. So, yeah, I mean, you about had them last year, but it was at home. So I think, brother, if anything's taught it, again, I keep going back to this, 2025 is the absolute craziest season. So I'm not going to sit here and say that any of these teams are going to win out, because I have no freaking clue at this moment.
Right. And again, we probably shouldn't spend so much time on a game that's several weeks away, but Let me just ask you one final thing. Because I think it's fair to say, you know, Tennessee Vanderbilt.
Yes.
If you had to put the mortgage on one player to score with the game on the line, and this is no shade at Joey Aguilar, but
right.
I think you're crazy if you're putting it on him over Diego Pavi. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Now, on the Auburn side, how can you not absolutely hate Hugh Freeze right now? Am I right? I mean, given what I saw, if that team would have been the football team that showed up in Oklahoma, that showed up in College Station, that showed up with Georgia, Mizzou, I'm telling you, brother, shoo, doggy. I feel like they left a lot of meat on the bone, and this is why. You know, Coach, I don't know if you're going to play that clip, but this is one of the reasons that DJ was talking about these kids being poached constantly by other teams, because we watched this team. It is absolutely loaded with talent. And, I feel like Hugh Freeze absolutely squandered this thing.
Yeah. Let me see. I got the video here. Let me upload it real quick.
Yeah. No, this is a good one, and it's something that you don't think about it, but yeah, I mean, college football's dirty, man. It is dirty, and it's going around everywhere. It's not just happening down here in Auburn. We're going to talk about LSU here in a minute. We're going to talk about Florida here in a minute, but you better believe after this game, I'm watching Cam, and it's not just Cam. Oh my gosh, there's so much talent there that I'm thinking to myself, man, if Tennessee would have had Cam, you know, if LSU would have had the damn running back here, you know, I mean, there's so much, Cobb. It's just crazy.
Yeah. So here's DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
After the game, he got pretty emotional, and he referenced. It's still uploading. Well, let me ask you this: hey, what's your confidence now?
Mm-hmm.
That Auburn can win the Iron Bowl over Alabama. Not that you're outright predicting it, but just, I mean, given what we've seen, 2 weeks to prepare, really 3 weeks to prepare because Mercer, but all of a sudden, I think Auburn's got a real shot to knock off Alabama.
Yeah, that game's always close. Doesn't matter what team shows up, but if anything, man, we know that Auburn has enough ammunition to put Alabama down. And if Alabama plays like they did against this LSU football team, which we will talk about next, I would not be surprised at all if Auburn wins. Now, the problem is the give up. We saw this with Florida, just the total lack of concentration and just performance there in Lexington. You know, will we see that with teams like, we've kind of seen a little bit with Arkansas, just that little bit of drop off. So you got a little fire in the bottle, a little lightning in the bottle, as they say here, the first 2 weeks with an interim coach. But I'm telling you, brother, that can fade real quick on teams like this.
Just like this loading.
You know what? If you like loading, be sure to hit that thumbs up, right? Just hit that X button, hit the thumbs up. I'd appreciate that.
Hey, shout out G. Ryan. Great job on the Aggie Hill. Beat the hell out of Carolina. And TU. I like he says TU too. Ted B., this is the best freaking channel ever.
Hey, it's up here. Go here. Rams. I'll play it. Okay. Yeah.
You know, I just want to say, like, those kids, it was a lot on them in a week, and we challenged them, and they responded. And this is Auburn. We didn't come here to get close or make the game close or fight till the end. We came here to win championships. That's what we're going to do. We're building a program to win championships, and that's the first step. First, I guess you got to get it there, but I'll tell you what, there's some character in that room. These guys, every coach in the country is calling this team, trying to drag them in the portal, going other directions. And those guys, they stuck together for one another. And so no more victories, no nothing. We're not happy about it. We're going to win these games, though. So you got to take steps, and that's what we're going to do. But those guys competed. They competed for one another and fought till the end. And they, you know, the other team just made more plays than we did. Credit to them.
Hey, shout out Hart, Mad Max. Hit the like button or Shane will come dance in your front yard.
Topless.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, we've not seen a ton of coaches remain committed to their programs necessarily. You know, that sounds weird. But like the Nebraska coach.
Yeah.
Which they probably wish he didn't sign an extension. We've seen Rhett Lashley, allegedly, he's staying at SMU. I've heard, Shane, and until something signed, I don't believe anything, but I've heard Clark Lee, the rumor is he's going to sign an extension at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, quickly, a lot of these like candidates, high candidates that are out there, I know everybody's waiting on Lane Kiffin, but it seems like a lot of guys are eager to stay where they're at.
Yeah.
Does that make it to where, now, Auburn's got to finish the deal. You can't just come out here and look good in a loss to Vanderbilt and Alabama. But if they, let's say they beat Mercer, let's say they beat Alabama, would it stun you? Or would it even surprise you if they turned this thing over to DJ Durkin?
Wouldn't surprise me. You know, I do not think, I think the contract would be very favorable that they could move on him in the future. But no, right now, DJ, say what you want, brother. I mean, he's been a head coach before. Obviously, we know his history. You can't argue with the success that Auburn's had on the defensive side of this football up till his Vanderbilt game. But you know, if you can keep this locker room intact, because that's the main thing. This is a very young, talented team, and you know, that's the benefit to promoting from within, right? Is sometimes you're able to keep that roster. So I saw it with the Tennessee baseball team. Hell, Auburn, prime example, their basketball team. You know, if you don't want to lose your players, we'll just promote their son, you know?
Hey, shout out Andrew. I'm going to screenshot this, Shane. He says, I'll donate $50 if Bama beats Auburn. I believe in Dirk.
Yeah. Ooh, I like it. Somebody screenshot that real quick, would you?
Well, you know what else? You know what else I believe in, Shane?
What's that?
Shout out our friends over at SeatGeek. Go check them out. Hey, the season's winding down. No better time, Shane. Maybe get you or someone you love some Christmas presents for the postseason.
Yeah.
If you're an Ole Miss fan, get you some playoff tickets, Georgia, Bama. Of course, A&M, they seem like a lock now. So go check them out, SeatGeek.com, promo code SEC10 to get 10% off your tickets over at SeatGeek. Or just if you want to make it super easy on yourself, Shane, just download the SeatGeek app. Same deal, same promo, SEC10 over at SeatGeek. And it's not just sporting events. It's any kind of activity, theater, music, bands, things of that nature, professional sports. They get you covered over at SeatGeek. SeatGeek 10's the promo code. Go check them out. And most importantly, don't forget that promo code SEC10 because it lets them know that we sent you over there. You know what?
Abso-freaking-lutely. You know, my daughter, she You know this guy, what is his name? Stravos. Stravos is in Knoxville.
Okay.
The comedian. And
Stavros. Said,
Stravos. Is that how you say? Okay.
Stavi.
Yeah, she's going there tonight. And I said, where's your seat? She goes, I don't know. I was like, well, jump on SeatGeek and see where you're at because you don't want to be on the front row because he's for sure going to call you out.
And if you don't use the promo code, Shane's going to be dancing in your yard. You know what? Well, you know who's dancing on my yard in my grave, Shane?
Who's that?
Them dogs. How about them, Shane? Going on the road. Beat the hell out of Mississippi State 41-21. Boy, you'd have to be a damn fool to think Mississippi State was going to win this one like I did. But shout out them dogs, Shane. And I thought the way it started, I was like, oh, Mississippi State opened the game with a touchdown drive. I'm thinking, okay, this will work. Georgia kicked a field goal, and then Georgia fumbled. It was very questionable. They were about to score a touchdown. They fumbled. And Mississippi State got it. I said, oh, baby, we're in business. Upset coming. And then State turned it right back over. And Georgia says, you know what? We'll score the next 38 unanswered points to put you baby dogs away. So shout out Georgia. They rushed for 303 yards compared to only 149 for Mississippi State. Them dogs had 30 first downs compared to 18 for Mississippi State. Gunner, 264 passing yards, and Kirby's getting asked if he's going to win the Heisman. I mean, it's just a damn good day. And shout out Nate Frazier, Shane. Good night. 181 yards rushing. I mean, that's outstanding for anybody. Just 12 carries. That's 15.1 yards per carry.
Jeez.
I guess in SEC defense, them dogs, we've been waiting, Shane, for them to put together a complete ball game, and they did it. They whooped the shit out of Mississippi State. What was your thoughts?
Man, a team getting stronger, right? Reminds me a lot of Ohio State last year. Just a team that struggled early and then at the end of the season started putting pieces together. I mean, Georgia getting 300 yards rushing, that's the Georgia Bulldogs I know. That's the one we grew up watching, right? RBU. Everybody always asks, where's RBU at? I always said Georgia. But I haven't said it here in a long, long time. And I tell you, brother, these boys ran all over Mississippi State. Gunner played great. Defense played great. It was complimentary football. It was good football. And I know Kirby, I mean, I could not wait. If I'm on Georgia's, if I'm on the roster right now, they're probably doing film study today. And I'm tickled pink to be sitting in that room because Kirby's going to have to dig deep to find anything wrong that I did, you know? They played that damn good.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, Shay, because I got a quick clip here of old Kirby. What'd you think of your team finally putting one together here, Kirby?
After playing so many games, you're pulling it out in the fourth quarter. What was it like today to not have that tension?
Felt different. I mean, I had to find something to bitch about.
Got time for one more question?
Short and to the point. And then I don't know if you saw this, Shade, but did you see what Lane Kiffin had to say about not his game, but this one?
No. They asked
him at halftime, you know, if he liked what he was seeing. And he said, well, hell yeah, I like Georgia whipping the hell out of that other team. And he knew the score of the Georgia game while he was coaching his team. You know what?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, he's all over. We'll talk about that one briefly at the end, you know. I don't blame him. But, it was more about marriage proposals in Georgia's football game than what Trinidad had to do out there. But I'll say this, Mike. Again, Mississippi State had some moments in here. They had some opportunities not to necessarily win this game, but definitely keep the crowd. The crowd, man, was electric. This was an electric weekend, and I kind of felt bad there for all those State fans that quickly had to fold up and go home, you know? So this was a good – I do want to ask you a serious question, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Like, do we have a quarterback change here?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about dancing. No. Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah.
Because, again, what are we
– He I looks mean, good. Well, I mean, again, he's young. He's made a lot of mistakes, but damn, he looks like a good football player.
Right. Now, here's the part. We're trying to make a bowl game.
Yeah.
For most people, yeah, it's like, who cares, right? But for Mississippi State, that'd be huge coming off the 2-10 season. I'm not saying you can't win it with a true freshman, but – potentially, let's say you start Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
You got true freshman on the road. I guess a very good Missouri defense, and then, well, I don't know. Maybe it splits both ways, Shane, because Missouri obviously they're down to a freshman, so you would think they're not going to like score a ton on you either.
Yeah.
So maybe you do it, but at the same time, maybe you got to rely on your veteran to get you. You know, this is your best shot to get a win here, even though it is on the road. I think you obviously got better odds at Missouri than you do Ole Miss. I don't know. That's a great question. I'm kind of torn, but I think you roll with a young player because he's your future, and you got to know what you got in him before you head to the offseason. So I think I would go with the true freshman.
Yeah, I do too. And I mean, you could use it. They're going to have to, I wouldn't say that, right? This is one of those, like, I don't know who the starting quarterback is, so they have to prepare for both. But I'm right there with you because Mississippi State needs to start selling the future. And right now, people are upset, right? They're upset with how the season's played out. I mean, to start out 4-0 and we've only got one game win since, you know, we felt like State was back, baby. And we're not. But if you got some... I don't know. You got some youth out there. Then all of a sudden you're like, I could be sold on 2026. So I think you run with the young kid.
And then how about them dogs real quick, Shane? Again, we knew they were very good, but they took a step closer just, again, they're putting it all together. That can't be an outlier.
Yeah.
But that was the perfect kind of get right performance for this massive game that we're going to be talking about all week, Georgia, Texas. Has your confidence raised at all that, well, I think it did, because I think I asked you this already, and you said, well, hell yeah, I think Georgia's going to whoop the shit out of Texas. They play like that. But just maybe not even that one, but your confidence in Georgia winning it all, did it go up at all based on that performance?
A little bit. It did. Yeah. It's just the running game for me, it was just the balanced football team. And I saw the defense, a tenacious. That's one thing, too, that defense has been kind of – it just lacked identity, and it felt like it had a little bit of that little teeth to it. So,
right. Six tackles for loss, three sacks.
I like that. So I do think that the numbers, though, wouldn't have changed much, maybe 5%. So I'm still sitting there because they got a little bit tougher path to go undefeated, but I'm sitting there about 75% right now, so maybe 70, you know, because I mean, Georgia Tech's still a good football team, too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of good football, how about them Alabama Crimson Tide, Shane? Still undefeated in the SEC, beats LSU 20-9. It's not the prettiest of football games here, Shane. I thought LSU really kind of came out and played some inspired football to start, anyway. They stuffed Bama on a fourth and short to open the game. That gave them some life. And then LSU drove right down the field into the red zone but missed a chip shot field goal. Man, was that deflating? Next drive, LSU got stripped and lost the football and set up Bama's first points of the game. It was a field goal. And, man, Bama, when they go two-minute, they might as well just go two-minute the whole damn game, I feel like, yeah. Shane. Because I'm thinking back to Vanderbilt. I'm thinking Tennessee, I believe. When they go two-minute, they're just on fire. But the rest of the game, it was very up-and-down performance for the offense. Maybe Alabama, maybe they're not as elite as we thought they were. But I'll tell you who's not, Shane, is LSU's offense, who they benched old Garrett Nussmeier going into the fourth quarter. It was Michael Van Buren's show, and he gave the offense some life. But both Nussmeier and Van Buren were taking critical sacks. They couldn't take in the red zone, limited LSU to a couple field goals when they really, really needed a touchdowns to potentially win this football game. What was your thoughts on this 20-9 performance by the Tide?
That damn defense needs to whoop that offensive line's ass. That's what needs to happen, Mike. I don't hate anybody, right? Mom always, when growing up, Mom says, you're not allowed to hate anybody. And I said, okay. But I hate watching this offense, LSU, that is. They just gave – when we had that Perkins sack or strip fumble, you know, recovery, and I'm sitting there like, this is it. This is the spark they need, and we do nothing with it. It's Alabama played terrible. And Tide fans on here, they know that if this would have been one of six other teams in the SEC, they would have got a loss that night, but they didn't. They got lucky that they got to play the LSU Tigers and their abysmal offense because it was absolutely embarrassing. So yeah, Todd, if they would have played the game, you mentioned Tennessee, if they would have played that type of game, they could have beat LSU by four scores, but they didn't. So this was a down night for them, and I'm glad that they benched Nuss. Nothing against Nuss, but if your offensive line is that bad, you need somebody that is quicker than Cousin Shane, you know?
I think it's, you know, it just looked like the same old LSU we've seen all season.
It's like we knew it. We knew it was going
to be. It was completely different from Auburn. You know, who fired their coach. They look like a new team. This just looks like same. It looked like Brian Kelly was coaching on today, except we didn't have the head coach wasn't yelling at everybody. You know what?
Yeah, that's it. No wonder Brian Kelly was so pissed at everybody coming to the sideline, you know? I was pissed I had to watch it.
Yeah, both these teams. Oh, man, I forgot to mention that. So LSU rushed for 59 yards.
Yeah.
Bama rushed for 56. Now, Bama, I don't know. I'm losing a little bit of confidence in them. Again, still very good team. Next week, Oklahoma. I don't think you could be this one-dimensional.
No.
and have a ton of success against the Sooners. And I know Auburn defense, you know, I don't want to say they got exposed. They had their worst performance of the season, but same deal with them. I mean, both these teams, Oklahoma and Auburn, if you can't, if you rush for 50 yards on them,
yeah,
you might lose one, if not both of those games. Is that too bold?
No, it's not. And both teams, I felt like I should have mentioned the drops were real bad, right? Both teams, but more in particular, LSU had a lot of bad drops here. But Alabama too. I'm watching these guys. And I'm like, man, they could be really special. But it felt like every time you had an opportunity to get that momentum and get that crowd really into it, there was a drop or a penalty or something like that, just kind of set us off our game. So, yeah, you're right. If you're playing like you played this week and lately, the tail half of the season, you are correct. There may be a chance Alabama gets left out, and it's crazy to say, but Oklahoma, you're about to face a team that beat you last year. We all know that, but also a team that is fighting for their life to make it to the college football playoff. And, I feel like this could be a really, really good football game.
Now, to say all the bad things.
Yeah.
Again, Oklahoma, we'll talk about it all week. Mm-hmm. Bama's won 17 in a row at home.
Yeah.
It's the longest winning streak in the country. So it's a tall task for the Sooners to go in there next week. Just a little preview there, Shane.
Every time I go to a game, we lose, you know, at home. You know, I can't imagine having the luxury of 17 in a row.
You know where else you don't just walk in and get a win?
Where's that?
Kroger, come on, Kentucky. 38-7 over them Gators, Shane. And believe it or not, Florida jumped out to a 7-3 lead in this ball game. Mm-hmm. After Kentucky muffed a punt, you're thinking, oh, boy. Oh, boy. And I was watching, just for fun this morning, Shane, I was watching the shout out our buddy Nick Roush and the Kentucky Sports Radio crew. They did like a video of like them walking in the stadium and you know, they're tailgating with the fans and the fans mm-hmm. are just like, please God, can you win one for us? we deserve it. No one was confident going into this game.
Yeah.
And then they do it afterwards and they're like, we knew we were always going to whoop our ass. And they did, Shane, because they scored 35 unanswered points here to run the Gators out of the damn building, beat them 21-0 in the second quarter, 14-0 in the second half. Both of these teams, Shane, had 4 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. I mean, it was an ugly, ugly-ass game. DJ Lagway got benched after throwing 3 interceptions, Shane. He's got more interceptions than he has passing touchdowns this season. He did not play in the second half. They did not have any kind of commitment that he's a starting quarterback the rest of the way. They turned it over to freshman Tramell Jones, and he didn't really get much going either. Kentucky, they dominated on the ground. 233 rushing yards to Florida's 104. And how about this, Shane? Only team in the SEC this week that did not punt the football was them Kentucky Wildcats. How about that?
I didn't expect that stat, Mike. You know, and I'd love to say that this was all Kentucky offense, but Mike, it was all Kentucky defense. It was all the fans actually showing up. Man, they were loud, they were proud, and it was nice to see that, man, because we haven't seen it in a while. And you're right, DJ looked horrible. Everything was sluggish. We had linemen pissed off on the sideline. It was terrible. Terrible football. And I was looking at the stat line. You know, after that touchdown, Florida went fumble, punt, interception, into half, you know. So that little section right there is exactly when we knew Florida gave up. And that's exactly what happened here. Once we started having the multiple picks, this was all Kentucky, and good for them, man. They played good football, good complimentary football, a lot of running here in this game, which I was happy to see again. You know, kind of a unsung hero is Cutter Bowley. And yes, he made some mistakes in this game, but this is a kid that is getting better every single weekend. And man, they found one. You know, it's always funny. Kentucky, we've always said, oh, who are they getting in the portal this year? Who are they getting in the portal? No, you've got a kid now that you can build around. And I think that's something to look forward to if you're a Kentucky fan.
Right. And Yeah. So you got your quarterback now.
Yeah.
There's probably more confidence in Mark Stoops. Now, we still got to see how we finish the season.
Yeah.
But this was the largest margin of victory, 31 points, Kentucky's had over Florida since 1970. Mm-hmm. Any idea, Shane, who was the coach of Kentucky in 1970?
1970?
He's a famous coach.
No.
Bear Bryant.
Oh, really? 70s?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently. I believe that's accurate. And then Kentucky snapped. I was kidding about Kroger. They had lost 10 SEC games at home in a row. Their last win against Billy Napier's Florida Gators. And this is the first time since 1955, Shane, that Kentucky has beaten Florida 3 in a row in Lexington. So just the stats are getting uglier and uglier.
That's why Calzada had all that money. He put it on them Kentucky Wildcats. My bookie, promo code SEC.
Do you think that old Kentucky's making a bowl game? So we're at 4-5. We got Tennessee Tech at home. They're undefeated, by the way, just FYI. At Vanderbilt, at Louisville, you got to win 2.
Yep.
You would certainly think Tennessee Tech's a guarantee. So basically, I'm just asking you, do they beat at Louisville, at Vanderbilt, do they beat either one?
Well, yeah, I mean, Tech's a good team. I don't know if they're still undefeated, but they were making a pretty good run there. The way Kentucky's playing right now, I would say 65% chance making a bowl game, which is crazy. Yeah, I mean, you would have told me that after a Tennessee loss. No, maybe that's probably not a good one. Georgia, I felt like something after that. There's no way Kentucky's getting there. But, yeah, you are correct, brother.
Wait, no, I'm absolutely incorrect, Shane. So apologies. Yeah. I screwed that up. It was the Bear Bryant, that last stat I gave you, 50, yes. 53, 55.
Yeah.
That was Bear Bryant, not 1970. That was stupid.
Didn't sound right.
You should roll with me.
I just ran with it. You know, it's like, okay, yeah.
So, apologies. Yeah,
he was at Kentucky before Bama, wasn't he? Yeah.
Right. But I don't know what year he got to Bama. Yeah. But, all right, let me ask you, Florida.
Yes.
Do they win another game? And here's the rest. At Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin. I mean, good night. This is like a Shakespearean play here. Yeah. Florida wanting Lane Kiffin. Do they bring him back to game? Does he even want to go after the way this team's collapsed? I don't know. And then they get Tennessee at home, Florida State at home. Florida State sucks, but I don't know. Confidence level that Florida wins another game.
Pretty low, Mike. Pretty damn low right now. And the only reason I'm saying that is because if they lose this next one against Ole Miss, they're completely out of bowl opportunity here.
Yeah.
And yes, I know Tennessee and Florida State's always fun to get up. And the only reason that would happen is if they get rid of the negative weight, the dead weight. There's dead weight on this roster, Mike. You can feel it. It's all over. It stinks, man. And if there's some kids that aren't bought in and they're thinking about the portal or whatever, you got to get them the hell out of that locker room. Because if you do that and you start playing some of this youth that wants to be there, that is begging for an opportunity, yeah, I do think Florida can beat a Florida State. I think maybe they could beat a Tennessee while they're down there. The Swamp's tough to play, but the buy-in has to happen this week. And if it doesn't, brother, and they get smoked by Ole Miss, you might as well kiss them season tickets goodbye. Ain't nobody going to want to watch that.
Could we fire an interim?
Yeah, and preferably not a Billy. They're 0-2 on Billys, right?
So how many more Billys we got? They got 200 coaches down there. Probably got 6 or 7 Billys, you know what?
Exactly, man. Yeah. Man, that was a rough look in Lexington, man.
Well, I'll tell you where they don't got a Billy.
Who's that? Where's that?
They got a Kiffin. Come on down in Oxford, Shane. 49-0 over the Citadel. This is basically my record predicting upsets, for the 0-49. Ole Miss had 603 yards to Citadel's 106, Shane. How about this? I mean, this sums it up perfectly. Citadel had 13 drives.
Uh-huh.
6 of them were 3 and outs.
Gee.
5 drives went 1 yard or less. So we're up to 11, and only 3 drives were longer than 18 yards. Ole Miss had 34 first downs. Citadel had 5. Ole Miss averaged 7.4 yards per play. Citadel, 2 yards per play. Ole Miss had 12 players catch a pass, and they just said, you know what, to hell with it. Let's just throw every down. 29-33 for 333 yards and three touchdowns was Trinidad. Got him going for the tail end of the season. They did whatever the hell they wanted. And Ole Miss marches on to 9-1.
Mm-mm-mm. Just clarification. There it is. Bear Bryant was at Kentucky. Thank you, Sam. Left Kentucky for A&M 55. He then left for A&M to Bama in 58.
Gotcha.
So, we're still talking Ole Miss. I will tell you this, Mike. I didn't expect really anything in this game except a healthy football game, and I felt like that's what we got. Trinidad did exactly what he was supposed to. He's done nothing to not stay in that little grouping of candidates for a Heisman. You know, his Heisman moment's coming. That's one thing that we got to talk about with Ole Miss. They've still got some games here where he could absolutely be on that that stage at the end of the season, if that's what you're playing for. Now, if you're playing for me, Mike, I want a balanced football team. I want the defense to keep improving, which I saw that this week. But more importantly, I do not want to overlook anyone. That was their downfall last year, Mike, was overlooking football teams. Now, they weren't overlooking the Citadel, but they could overlook Florida, right? You know, I could definitely see that happening. And then if all of a sudden like that happens, then we start saying, well, you know, it's all riding on the Egg Bowl, which, again, they probably could win this one. But now you're going into a must-win situation. So the key here, Mike, is just staying healthy, take advantage, move on to the next week, and pray your coach doesn't leave you.
I think the ship's kind of sailed, fair or not, for Trinidad to win the Heisman. I really do.
Well, I mean, you're probably right.
Just because, and it's not his fault at all.
Nah, Indiana kid.
Yeah, that guy, but also, like, who is going to respect what he does against Florida and Mississippi State and be like, you know what, this is the guy right here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas I think that's a different story for Marcel,
yeah,
who's got at Texas. I mean, that's a Heisman-type showdown.
Mm-hmm.
Of Vanderbilt, Diego at Tennessee to make the playoff.
Yeah.
Gunner against Texas and Georgia Tech, maybe Atlanta. You know what I mean? Now, maybe if Ole Miss makes Atlanta,
yeah,
and they like outduel A&M or something, that's true. He needs a moment. He's not going to get a moment in the Egg Bowl against
that's true.
Average Mississippi State team and a Florida team that's quit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean,
I think he deserves respect. Like you're saying, he may even be a finalist, but It's hard for me to see him winning it.
And the problem is the votes are coming in right now, right? They're the ones. So the votes aren't going to wait till the championship game's played or the college football playoffs played, which it should. But they're picking them now, so, which is dumb. A Heisman, I'll say this. A Heisman vote should not come in until the very last play of the college football playoff. And at that moment, we can decide who's the best player in the country. But big plays, big moments. That's the Indiana kid. He had a massive one this week. And, you know, there's been a few in the SEC, but it's going to be tough this year, I think, for an SEC. Do you think there'll be an SEC Heisman winner this year? I mean, Marcel Reed would probably be the name that pops
up. I think the
up.
Best bet is still Diego.
Yeah, but I just
if
don't
think Vanderbilt makes the playoff.
Yeah.
He'll be a finalist. I don't know if he'll win it.
Yeah. Old Diego. He's going to kill me, isn't he?
The bet, I don't know if you remember, the bet was if he wins the Heisman, that adds 50 miles to the walk.
No, that was not the bet. But
and if they make the playoff, it's an extra 100. You know?
Oh, man.
All right, Shane, final thing here.
Yes.
Before we get to all the great super chats and everything. The week 12 opening lines in the SEC, and buddy, do we got some barn burners? Only two non-conference games. The rest, we've had a lot of teams on a bye this last weekend.
Yeah.
They're back, buddy. They are back. So let's do guess the opening lines. New Mexico State.
Yep.
Where Pavia used to play. At Tennessee. What's the opening line?
Tennessee 27.
Way off. 38.
Oh.
No respect I think it's the Lobos.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, how about Arkansas at LSU battle of the Golden Boot?
At LSU. So give me LSU 4.5.
Ooh, you're getting closer. 6.5.
Okay. That's going to move.
Yeah. All right, how about this rivalry that we can't let go, Shane? South Carolina at Texas A&M, the John Bonham Trophy, I think they play for here. What's the opening line, Carolina at A&M?
A&M, 11.
17.
Jeez.
Trap game?
Buddy. Buddy.
They're wanting us to pick Carolina. Let's double cousin curse them. Carolina's winning.
Oh, man. Yeah, give me Carolina, huh?
All right, how about Mississippi State, Shane, at Missouri?
Mississippi State at Missouri. Give me Mizzou 7.
6. You about nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Florida at Ole Miss, the Lane Kiffin Bowl.
Ole Miss 16.
13.
Ooh.
Very close. All right. And then the two showdowns. We're going to be talking about it all week here, Shane. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
At Alabama.
Bama, 8.5.
Too much, too rich, Shane. 6.5.
Okay.
Less than a touchdown. And then mighty Texas at old mighty Georgia.
Oh, give me Georgia. Give me Georgia 6.
Oh, 5.
Okay. Okay.
But I like that, right? So two marquee games, not even a touchdown spread opening. We'll see what that does throughout the week. You know what?
Shane's thinking about cinnamon cake. He is correct.
I think he's thinking about that damn dance and how.
The game day. Where's game day going to be? That nobody's watching anymore.
I think like Notre Dame Pitt or something like that.
Yeah, might as well go up there. ESPN's not going to be.
So no one can watch it. Who the hell cares? You know what?
Exactly. Exactly. So,
hey, but let us know. Since you were all about the sling, did the sling work for you?
It's great. It was great. Okay. I mean, obviously, it doesn't have the multi, and it's funny because ESPN commercial comes out and says, "Now introducing MultiView," and I was like, "Oh, sure you are," you know. But most of the time, we just had two games going on, so I just watched one on TV and one on my laptop. So worked out pretty good. Worked out really good.
How long did you procrastinate and be concerned about the Aggie dance?
I thought about it on and off throughout the day. At about 2:30, I told the wife, I said, "Let's go to Lowe's," and because I was going to get the white outfit, and then I was going to start it off drinking milk, but we for some reason didn't have any milk in the house, so I was like, "Well, I can't use that," you know. So I apologize for not having more props in the dance, but yes, it I got all the gear out. Took me about an hour. You know, I watched the videos, and of course, I watched a YouTube tutorial. You did a lot of dances.
Yeah,
There
was more to do.
Yeah, I just did the one. I was going to do the farmer dance, and then I was like, I don't know. I mean, he's on his knee a lot, so I better stick with this one, you know?
That's just a little too far.
You know? A little too far, you know?
Just like our buddy, Cousin Glenn Warsaw, Shane, he gifted Cooper,
Welcome to the family.
And then we got, what a name, Shane, Krusty Peter Tip.
Jeez.
He gifted Jake the Snake. Jake, welcome to the family. And then JR, the legend. The legend's back.
The legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
He gifted Shearman. Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of the legend, JR.
And then, of course, the other legend,
Stephen Up.
Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
He gifted Drumline Rolla. Drumline, welcome
to the family.
And then Dane became a member.
Let's Yay. See. Thank you, Jane.
Dane
Cook. You remember that comedian? He was funny.
Yeah. And then he...
his brother stole all his money.
No shot in hell, he says. That's what Boom. I said. I said, A&M, no shot in hell. They win three road games in a row. They did it. They shut me
Welcome
up.
To the... Oh, wait. He's already there. Sorry, been drinking.
The Beekeeper. Great job for Russ, the Beekeeper.
Hell yeah. I don't mess with them, man. I tell you, ever I get hit with them yellow jackets, mm-hmm. it feels like, I don't know if this is just because, but I notice more like hornets and stuff like that. So I don't know if it's because it's now in my DNA. They think we're like family or something, or I'm just more on, you know, noticing them since I got stung by them.
You're just so sweet. They got to get you. You know
what? Yeah, buddy. They come for me.
Just like Rancho Texano, Shane.
Thank you, cuz.
Mike and Shane, you guys are the best. You have to play that on Texas this week. I don't think they want to see that. Shane, Marty's Funkhauser says, stay the F away from my eggs. G. Ryan, appreciate you. We got Derek, beat the hell out of Carolina.
Thank you, Henry.
SEC Fish Giggum, we appreciate you.
Thank
Gregory
you,
Grogan says, hope Drink makes changes to the staff after Arkansas. Yeah. Do you think they got to make changes?
No, but I mean, Kirby better get his shit together or he's not going to get a job somewhere else.
Right. No, I think that's fair.
Terrible offense. Terrible offensive performance.
Freedom Van says them painters ain't shaped like Shane.
They're not. Yeah, to be fair. If you saw me coming to paint your house, you know there's going to be some corners not touched, you know?
And then he gifted five memberships.
Thank you, guys.
Trying to see who he gifted to here, but yeah, the house is not getting done great.
No. You know, there's going to be a few spots.
Here we go, Shane. Go Pure Travel.
Yes.
Sergio Vega, Nathan Knudsen, Bobby, and MC.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of the Freedom Van.
I'm the guy that says them baseboards are going to cost more. Yeah.
Junior, well done, guys. A cousin always pays her debts. There's a tear in my beer for them Gators. Y'all made it more tolerable. Wait, let me ask you.
Yes.
I mean, this is rock bottom for Florida, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, we have seen some rough times for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean, I don't wish this on them, Shane, especially old juniors, loyal junior. But what happens if they? I mean, I think their silver lining is it's so bad Kiffin will come, right? What if they don't get him? I mean, how quickly can they recover?
It would be tough, but it feels like it would be one of those desperate hires too, right? That they're going to throw maybe more money than they should at somebody.
Yeah.
And which is tough because once you do that, you allocate those funds, that's less for your NIL opportunities. So, yeah, it's a slippery slope, but I don't know. I mean, Lane Kiffin was a done deal to Auburn. He was a done deal to all these schools, you know, and he's where he's at, and he may stay. So just be ready.
All right, and then we got one more from our man Carl Shane.
Bassman, that had to hurt.
The wild man, Carl Jenkins. Preseason Vols, 7-5, 8-4, two games in. Feels like 98 rinse and repeat.
There's still some saying it's still a slim shot, you know.
Would you be happy with 9-3? I mean, I know that's not like the...
No, I want to win out, right?
Yeah.
I want to win out. And honestly, something you talked about on the Power Rank show is just, you know, would you be happy with that? I feel like we're all happy with a 9-3 knowing what we were coming. Like if we were starting the season, it's just, we got teased a little bit. We thought this was the year we get past, we can win out. We'll go to the playoffs. But honestly, I don't know how that would have turned out. So 9-3, I'm okay with, Mike.
Mm. It's just, it's one thing or the other, right? Last year, great defense.
Oh,
where the hell's the offense? Now it's great offense. Where the hell's the defense?
Like Auburn.
All right. That's all I got, buddy. You got anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I appreciate everybody hanging out with us, all the donations. Thank you so much. Thank you for hitting the thumbs up, right? It doesn't cost a dime to hit that thumbs up. Share this with your friends and family. Shout out to JP putting out the shout outs together. Glenn Warshaw, Krusty Peter Tip, Elko's what a lineup, huh? What if I told you tonight we're going to have Krusty Peter Tip and Elko's massive nutsack? Cousin JR, Dane M, Steven Up, Gregory Grogan, Andrew Coat, Rancho, Texano, Marty Funhauser, Tam B, Grian, Derek Henry, That SEC Fish, Giggum, Freedom Van Jr., and Carl Judkins, and of course, JP the Legend. Thank you so much for those donations. It truly does help us out. But hey, we had a great, great weekend, and we still got some football boys and girls. I mean, we have no idea how this movie's going to end. It's like we're sitting on the edge of our seat just waiting. I mean, we got Shane and Mike dancing. You just never know what's going to happen on this show. But be sure to tune in tomorrow. Mike's going to have the smart guy on, the guy that's getting all the picks right. So let's listen to what he's got to say. But I appreciate everybody hanging out with us tonight.
And Grim says, hit the button or Shane will paint your house.
I'll paint your damn house shirtless.
808, we should have led with this, Shane.
Yes.
Veterans Weekend. Shout out all the veterans in the comments, the listeners, and everybody out
Flying
there.
Flying Hawaiian.
Flying Hawaiian. Thank you all. My dad, Papa, you know, they're all out there. So we appreciate you. Without you, we don't have this show. We don't have this country. And we don't have college football. You know what?
The damn truth, Mike. Absolutely. Couldn't say it better myself.
All right, so that's going to do it on this episode. We'll catch you on the next one. Should we dance again?
How does it go? Hey, 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 oh! Hey, oh,
hey, oh!
Hey, oh! I get A-G-G-I-E-S, A-G-G-I-E-S,
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.